turn with me this evening, if you would, just for a brief few moments as we talk about heaven, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I found that movie, like I said, about a week ago, and it was a blessing to my heart, and I thought rather than trying to say all those things myself, I'd let those three authors say it. They probably could do it better than I could. But I hope that as you heard that video and heard their different analogies and different stories and illustrations, that it kind of even more piqued your interest as to what is yet to come. I liked Joni's illustration of the acorn turning into the tree, realizing that here we are, you know, we have our own responsibilities here on earth, but what awaits us is far greater, and greater responsibilities and greater things to look forward to. I also liked her illustration of a baby in the womb. You know, it's dark, and it's warm, and it's snuggly, and they're comfortable. And yet, just outside of that womb is a whole new world. And we understand that in the twinkling of an eye, we will be in glory, and we'll see our Savior face to face. The Bible doesn't have a whole lot to say about what heaven is like. It tells us more about the new heavens and the new earth in Revelation chapter 21, and we'll read through that here in just a few moments. But when we die right now and go to heaven, we really don't know a lot about what the heaven we are going to is like. We don't know what it really looks like. We don't know exactly what we will be doing, but we understand that we will be praising God and serving Him in whatever capacity. But we understand that there are things that God has planned for us that we don't necessarily always know, and there are also times that there are things that God has for us that we don't need to necessarily know. It's an adventure, as one of the authors said, as we can contemplate crossing from this life into the next. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, Paul writes to the church at Corinth, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Remember when Jesus was on earth and his disciples were there and he told his disciples that he was going to have to leave. Why did he say that he had to leave? To go to prepare a place for them and so the Holy Spirit could come and comfort them. He was going to prepare a special place just for his followers, for his believers. You know, the Bible says that we have a mansion, not necessarily a mansion, but a room connected to the Father's house. And we will be living with him for all eternity, and we will get to be with him and spend time with him and live with him, you know? And that's the most exciting part of glory. The worst thing about hell, on the opposite hand, though, is not the fact that the person in hell will be in constant torment, but the fact that they'll be in constant separation from God. That is the worst thing about hell. And we as believers get just the opposite. We get to spend every moment of eternity, if there is moment and time in eternity, to spend with him and to be in his presence and to be and just enjoy him and praise him. I love this verse because it takes place as you read it. It can be taken either one of two ways, but I have to take it both ways. And let me explain to you why. Some theologians believe this verse is talking about the things that God has prepared for us now. The things that we will experience on a daily basis. The things that we will go through tomorrow. God knows those things. Even though we don't, and we can't really even imagine what we'll go through tomorrow, God knows. I don't know what's going to take place in my life tomorrow. I make plans for my life tomorrow, but the way plans work in my life, they never work out correctly. So, you know, I might make plans, but there's no way in the world they're all going to work out correctly. And for all I know, forbid it, but, you know, maybe tomorrow, as my wife is on her way over to the daycare to work, she's in a car accident and dies. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what is prepared for me to go through tomorrow, but God does, and he's the one that loves me and is going to take care of me and through it. The other way this verse is also taken, though, is as we talk about glory. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has planned, that God has prepared for us for all eternity. You know, I don't know if it's been a long time since we've been in this verse and I've preached in this verse, but maybe you remember me saying in the past, you know, I like to see incredible things. I wish I had some illustrations to show you tonight, but there are some pictures I found on the internet of these chalk drawings that people are doing on sidewalks and on streets. And they're 3D. They are drawn flat on the street. But as you look at them, you look like you see things in three-dimensional. For example, there's one that looks like a man falling through a hole. And if you were to look at it as you got down, you'd see a flat drawing. But as you stood up and looked at it, he looks like he's falling through a hole in the concrete down into nothing. And you know, there's all sorts of different drawings and stuff. And I like to look at a lot of that stuff and just see, you know, wow, that person really has a lot of talent. That's a really cool thing to look at. Or I like to go to the Rocky Mountains. I really enjoy Denver and Colorado, and I really haven't gotten very far past Denver, and I'm told the mountains get bigger as you go farther west. But I like looking at mountains. I like looking at the ways that they come down together and the streams that come through. I like going through the mountains when it's raining and watching the springs come off the mountainside. It's just a beautiful sight, and the snow-capped mountains and so forth. I love that. But the most beautiful sight I have ever seen does not even compare to what God has planned for me, what God has prepared in heaven. And the verse goes on and says, "Nor ear heard." I'm one that likes to hear fascinating facts and tales. And I like to hear stories. I like to be told what's going on. Maybe I'm the busybody, likes to know everybody's business. But to know what's taking place and to hear what's going on. And I've heard some pretty fascinating things in my lifetime. Some things that, you hear and go, wow, that's really incredible. That's really interesting. But nothing I've ever heard will compare to that which I will hear about when I get to heaven. Neither ear has seen nor ear heard, nor has entered in the heart of man. Those of you that have known me for the past 6 years know that I have a pretty creative imagination. you're like, uh-huh. You know that I can think of some pretty crazy things. I should take some time to tell you some of the dreams I've had as a younger kid. But, I have quite a unique imagination, and I have fun with that imagination. I like to be creative and think of crazy ideas and crazy things. But nothing that I can even imagine in my heart will be close to what heaven is like. I can imagine some pretty neat things. You know, when I like to read about in Isaiah, read about the throne room of God and the seraphim shouting. I like to read about, in Revelation 21, like we'll do in just a moment, about the new heaven and the new earth, what they look like. But you know, no matter how hard I try to envision it in my mind and think about how beautiful and wonderful it's all going to be, it doesn't come close to what reality is going to be. It's going to far exceed any of my expectations. Remember that gift or that present you've always wanted and someone surprised you with it? There was no way in the world anyone was ever going to buy you that, whatever it was you wanted. But here it was in this package. This past year, I was enamored with the new fun little computer tool called an iPad. You're probably familiar with it. You see it in all the stores now. You hear about it on TV. All that sort of stuff. An iPad. Jim doesn't think they're very cool, but I do. Anyways, he returned his to the store. Anyways. I wanted one, and there was no way in the world that I could ever afford one. There was no way in the world that I was going to be able to save enough money to buy one of those so I could use it as a Bible or to write on and so forth. There was no way I could afford it. Several weeks ago, back in the beginning of January, we were up in Iowa at my wife's family reunion, and her family has a number of pastors in it. Some are retired, some are in ministry now, some have left the ministry and are in different positions now. But one of her uncles, or her cousins, used to be a pastor in Des Moines, and he left the ministry and became a chaplain in the Army, the Iowa Guard. And he's pretty well off to do now since he's not a pastor and has money. And we were getting ready to leave that Saturday from the family reunion, and he came up to me with a gift bag, and he said, "Nate," he says, "my wife and I have been thinking about you and Shanna, and we want to be an encouragement to you. We've been praying for you, we've been thinking about you, and we just want to kind of encourage you to keep on pressing on and keep on keeping on." And he gave me this bag. Well, I'm a very traditional person when it comes to being given a gift or given a card or something. I'll usually put the card or something in my pocket, or, I won't open the gift right there unless I'm asked to or something, whatever. So I just took the bag and I said, "Well, thank you very much," and I put it in the back of the car and I thought, what is it? A little commemorative plate, a book, maybe something, that really I might use for 5 seconds and put away and never to look at again, as I was sitting in the car waiting for my wife to come out, I had my two daughters in the car. It was cold that day, and when I was waiting for my wife to come out, I'm sitting there with a bag behind my seat, and I'm just thinking, what's in that bag, And they knew that I'm on Facebook a lot, and I post pictures on Facebook, and I bet that I'd complained recently about my camera was starting to die. And I thought, maybe they bought me a camera. No, they did not buy me a camera. They would not spend that much money on me to buy me a camera. That's just dumb. What about an iPad? Wouldn't that be cool if they bought me an iPad? They did not spend $600 on me buying me an iPad. There's no way in the world they did that. But what about this book? Yeah, maybe it's a book. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. And I didn't know what it was. A little bit later, my wife came out, and she got in the car, and she said, "Did Courtney and Skip give you a bag for the girls?" I said, "Well, he gave me a bag, but he told me it was for you and me." And she said, "Well, did you open?" I said, "No." So I said, "It's behind me if you want to open." So she reaches behind me and takes the bag and opens it up, and she pulls out the case of an iPad. And I'm like, you know, something I'd been wanting for a long time. There was no way in the world I could afford it. You know, I've never had anyone go out and spend $600 on me before, you know, and I'm just like, that's incredible. You know, I've always wanted one of these. You know, I was given something very special that day. But boy, there's coming a day I'm going to get something a lot more special. My imagination cannot even comprehend what will be behind those pearly gates. I cannot even begin to fathom what is yet to come. But the things which God has prepared for those who love Him is fascinating. If He is willing to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to die upon the cross of Calvary for you and for me, what is He prepared to give us when we get there? What are we looking forward to? What are we waiting and expecting at the gates? Turn over with me to Revelation 21. This is kind of the best picture I can give you of heaven as we know it. I can't take you to heaven today and show you. We have little bits and pieces throughout Scripture that kind of gives us little clues and hints about what the heaven is like. But here in Revelation 21, we have the best view, if you will, of not the heaven today, but the heaven yet to come. And we understand here that and the heaven that we will live in and yet to come is a new heaven and a new earth. And we will be there because the first heaven and the first earth will be passed away. They will have been burned up in fervent heat. But Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea." Jonah should be very happy about that. Anyways, verse 2, "Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, and prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.' Then He who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And He said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.'" Stop right there just for a minute. Notice that he puts liars among all these other sins that we oftentimes say are really bad. That shows us even a lie is sin against God and disqualifies us from heaven without the gift of salvation. Verse 9. "Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, 'Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife.'" Who is that, by the way? That's us. That's the church. "I will show to you the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates in the south, and 3 gates in the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height were equal. Then he measured its walls, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the streets of the city were pure gold, like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are in its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illumined it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day, because there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter into anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We go on to read about the crystal sea, the trees of life that give forth their fruit in their season, reading about the streets and so forth, but it gives us a little view of what is yet to come. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered in the heart of any man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. I realize that for now God has things for me to fulfill on this planet. He has a life for me to walk, a purpose to understand and work out in my life. But until that time, may we pass on in our service to the Lord. May we fulfill his plan for our lives. May we do what he wants us to do, what he's called us to do, and the things that he's planned for us even long before we were born, as we await that day to walk into those pearly gates. He, the pearly gates, will open, and I shall enter. And let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this reminder tonight. This reminder about heaven and how wonderful it's going to be. It's true, Father, that the heartaches that we go through in life, all it will take was just one look at Christ, and all of our toils will melt away. It will have been worth it all when we see Christ. May we magnify you now in our life as we live it out day by day, moment by moment. May we serve you with every second that you've given to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your hymnal one last time this evening. Hymn number 539, Oh, That Will Be Glory For Me. Would you join me by standing? 539.